Hey, everybody, welcome to the Foch's Corner, where the Locker Room Access and Coach Phony Bennett discuss the latest tweets and social media action. We've got Coach Phony Bennett, Dougie Fresh, T-Dubs, all the way out in Cali, and I'm Mark Jerome. Coach, a lot of good games this week, and UVA 2-0 once again. We're off to a kicking 10-1 start in the league.
10-1 start. It's amazing that this year so far, this team, you can feel like, man, we just really haven't reached our potential. Like we have so much we got to work on. And they are 10-1 in the ACC. Like that's how far we've come as fans that we're privileged enough to feel that way.
Yeah.
Wild, huh?
3 point.
10-1. It's pretty
amazing. 10-1 in the ACC, right? And people are like upset every game. Right? If we don't win by enough, if we don't play the perfect game, if every single player doesn't make every shot, if somebody doesn't have a good first half.
I'm guilty of it myself, man. I get so frustrated at some of these games. And it's just it's being spoiled. I mean, we've had such sustained success. I saw somebody say, what is it, the number of winning seasons that Tony Bennett has had in a row is only matched by Dean Smith and Coach K. You know, not even Roy has pulled that off, and you know, let alone me.
I saw something on Twitter that since 2017, we've lost 9 regular season games.
Yeah,
think about that. 9.
Incredible.
Wait, 17, 18, 19, 20. That's like,
where's your
three a year?
Yeah, at Wake Forest, that's an average January.
Hey, for many years that's where we were, right? For right. Most of my life,
right?
We were lucky to be an 8.500 team in the ACC, right. Like yeah. It was a huge celebration if we were over 500,
right? It was so weird that between 95-96, basically when you left Fresh,
yep
it was downhill for a long time.
Yeah, it all goes back to me. I get it, you know.
We got to talk about that comment yesterday, by the way, Dougie, the one I sent you from that young lady.
Oh, that was awesome.
We got to talk about that later on. So, yeah, Coach, you said you get frustrated. What's your outlet for frustration?
I mean,
release.
Sometimes it's Twitter. It's generally it's yelling profanities at the air. you know, not really. I like my TV too much to throw anything at it. You know, I remember years ago, and I'm much better about it now. Years ago, my daughter pointed out that every time one of our players makes a mistake, I take a drink. I was like, wow, okay, I need to stop doing that. The kids
see everything. They notice everything. Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm a lot better these days, and I don't know if that's just a function of age or just been watching enough games, but I'm better at kind of calming myself and you know, just trying to enjoy the game. But I wasn't terribly successful for most of last night.
And depending on the years you were doing that, you were taking a drink every mistake.
Right.
You might have been on the verge of entering Alcoholic Anonymous.
Yeah, it could be a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, I didn't drink during the late O years. It was really only when Tony was hired, so I didn't have
Phony. Did you watch the games during the Lato years?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Really?
I was at the last game Lato coached, that ACC tournament. Yeah. And it was so funny because I'm walking out and you know who like the well-heeled alums are. And you know, I'm walking by this group and it's like, yeah, Craig's already made the decision. You know, it happens, you know, Monday or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, word was out that that was Lato's last game.
All right, T-Dubs, you have some tweets lined up for us?
Yeah, all the tweets that were trending were really about Kihei. So I thought we'd take a moment, because especially on social media, I feel like Kihei gets, you know, Mark and I, last post game when you guys weren't available, we really went in to dive into the, why is Kihei this lightning rod? We love him, but a lot of people do not. And understandably, he's you know, for, you wrote on Twitter a comment like Kihei shouldn't be shooting as much as or more than Sam and Jay.
Right, right. So last night Kihei was 5 of 13 from the floor. Sam and Jay combined were 6 of 12. So slightly better overall shooting, and really Kihei's great shooting came at the end where he, you know, once again proved the Kihei-haters wrong, but it didn't negate, you know, some of his performance in that first half.
Yeah, what is your take on it, Fresh? I mean, where do you sit on the Kihei thing?
I think you have to qualify that because you said people hate Kihei. Nobody hates him, but yeah. We all, it's a microcosm of the game, right? And you hate what he does in the game, but I think we all love Kihei. And unfortunately, we're critical as fans and watching and thinking what he could do better and what he's doing wrong and what his hairstyle is and how he's smiling. And it's a total overthought about Kihei.
Right.
But, I mean, for me, and I don't hate anybody. I love all the kids. But he comes up with such big plays after being horrible, and you're like, how can you hate him? You know, and you want to replace him. You want to think somebody's better. Somebody should be there and not him. And I'm confused by Kihei, to tell you the truth. And I think he likes that. I think he wants you to be confused. And that's why he changes his hair every game. Like, you don't know me. You don't know me, B.
I remember. Is there any player that you guys can remember what the fan base was more split on? You know, love him, hate him. And obviously, you got to qualify what hate means. But a player that the fan base was so split, because you've got this core group of fans that are like, why isn't he an All-American? And then you've got right. this core group of fans going, why is this guy starting in Division I basketball?
Right. It's incredible.
I've seen people say that when Kihei, you know, goes early to the NBA, like, all right, you're out.
I'm out.
You're out. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. He,
Coach, there was that, I saw an exact same post on Facebook today.
What's that?
That some people think, there's a camp that thinks and believes that Kihei should be an All-American. And there's a camp that thinks that he shouldn't be playing Division I basketball. That right. thinks he's awful or should be replaced or something very similar to that.
Right. So, yeah.
How about this? I'm going to say he shouldn't be playing Division I basketball, but he should be an All-American.
Both are right.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody could say he shouldn't be leading a team. I don't get it. I don't understand that.
I mean, I understand the frustration also. Like, I get it. Like, you see him missing shots and taking more, but then you say things like, hey, it's what the defense gives you, right? Yeah. Take what the defense gives you. And they're giving him a shot, and he can make it. And he did. He eventually proved that he can make that shot. So I get it. Like, it's all, like you said, it's all there. This is like the pinnacle of the Kihei lightning rod.
Like, we talked about this before the show. That was possibly the most Kihei game ever last night, because it had whatever your opinion about him was, he probably did that. He reinforced that at some point in the game last night.
Let's create the formula for a really good player, or a just any college basketball player. And let's pick 4 or 5 categories. All right, and you guys add into them as you see fit. Let's say defense. Let's say leadership. Let's say, and you could actually break up defense to like on ball and off ball and IQ points and toughness and hustle, right? But we'll call all those defense. Let's say passing. Let's say shooting. Let's say ball handling, let's say IQ and running sets, right? And then you have the variables too. I don't know how many I just named, and you guys jump in there and name a couple too.
I wasn't aware there would be any math, Mark.
You're so good at it that you don't need to be prepped to figure out the math. All right, let's say 0 to 10 on every subject, on every category. Uh-huh. Defense, what would you guys give them on defense?
Kihei? There's like
what's 10? What's 10 NBA level?
7 fast.
No, this is all college basketball. This is all college basketball. So 0 to 10. 10 is the best, and 0 is the
ten being best in the country.
10, yes. When if you every college basketball player, right, gets a 0 to 10.
Okay. Defense? I don't know. I say 8.
Phony?
Yeah, it's I think 8. I think he'd be a 9 if he were bigger, but he can't. He can't help it. You know, but that's going to impact his defense at some point. He uses his size to his advantage. I get that, but
he does, right? And he's disruptive, and he stays in front of his man. It's not often that he gets beat. Like last night, huge play. Alvarado. Jose Alvarado, who's probably, if he's not ACC first team, he's at the top of the second team.
Yeah.
And he just shut him down. Yeah. One-on-one. Mano y mano.
I mean, I saw someone point to the step back, like, jumper that Alvarado, but I'm like, that's, you can't continuously hit that. Like, you give him that one. He made a great move. He stepped back, hit an NBA three. It's like, all right, he's not going to shoot 50% on those.
All right. So, Phony, what was your grade?
I'm sticking with 8. Yeah.
Dougie?
All right. So for Kihei on defense. I'm going to say pre-KenPom, ding me, please. Thank you. Pre all this nonsense era, this bullshit about talking about analytics, he's a 9.5. But because you can say he's shorter, the guy could shoot over him, or he got beat and somebody had to help, and I'm telling you, he's a guy nobody ever wants to guard him. If you're like me, a 6'2", okay, I was 6 maybe, but 6'1". You don't want that guy to guard you, and he's in. Right. He's up. He's under you, and he's disrupting, and he's doing a thing defensively. He's a 9.5 for what his position is and what is demanded of him.
Quickly, was there anybody when you played that he reminds you of in ACC?
College?
Yeah.
Let me say something better. In high school, every game, there was a 5'7", 5'8", you know, let's be honest, black dude who was so quick and so competitive, and I had a little bit of a name, and they wanted to come at me. And there was, I would much rather a 6'5 guy guard me than a Kihei. That's my point. So his value for somebody like me is 9.5.
What about you, Mark? Where are you at?
I'm going 8.5. Maybe even 8.75.
No, I feel like I underrated him.
No, it's you're a Ken Pon era.
Well, okay. So why
ding me?
I was on my way to ding you. And I got my hand cut.
No, but I get it. You know, think.
Why do you feel like you underrated him
too much?
No, I mean it, and it's his on-ball defense that's so good, and frankly that low center of gravity, being able to quickly change direction and stuff. I mean that's. That's where his height is an advantage, I would assume. But no, he's, you know, defensively, I mean, and he comes from a lineage of some great defensive guards for this team. Yeah. And I couldn't be happier.
Okay, so let's go to leadership, toughness. We'll put those together.
Yeah.
When they lost to UVA, lost to Gonzaga, he went into the locker room and he cursed dudes out. He went in there and he yelled at people. And he's like telling people, we're not tough enough.
Yeah.
We're not playing hard enough. We're not being good enough. That's what a leader does. Yeah. Since then, granted, there's nobody else they played that's as highly touted or highly ranked and highly skilled as Gonzaga. Since then, 9 out of 10 wins, right? Or 10 out of 11 wins. Is that right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it'd be 10 and 1 since.
In the conference?
Yeah. 11-1 since.
Who did we lose in the conference?
Virginia Tech.
Right.
Oh. Mark, never. Just don't ask that question again. We don't.
Sorry. Bass Tech
right.
is.
No, Bass Tech. Right. So, all right. So since then, reeled off. We're 10 out of 11. I think we're 10-1 in the conference, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. So 10 out of the last 11 games. Leadership wise, toughness wise, what are you giving him, Dougie?
Toughness? I'm going to give him a 12.
Leadership slash toughness.
Toughness? Don't even start. Like, that's not a question.
Okay.
He's a tough motherfucker. I needed it. Leadership.
So 10. You're going to give him a 10 on toughness.
Give him a 7, man.
Seven.
From my, your eyes lie to you all the time, right? But from what I see, I don't see him on court leading. He might do it in the locker room. So I don't know. I might be wrong. Is that fair or no?
Yeah.
Totally.
I don't see his leadership on the court and in the huddles and around the guys and getting, yo, guys, get together. Let's go. I see Sam doing it. The only one. I don't see Kihei as, you know,
a vocal leader is what you're
saying. I don't see it on the court. And that's all I see. I'm not in the locker room and not at practice. Yeah. So.
Okay, so you're giving him an 8.5 because we're putting those two together.
Okay, that's fair.
Phony, yeah. Coach?
I mean, I have a tough time not giving him a 10 in that category because obviously his toughness is, you know, you see. Leadership, you know, I've looked at very few times this season, which is one indication, very few times this season where he's not been on the court. And we suffer for it. There's a lack of organization that immediately seems to happen. We need him out there at the toughest moments. He's that guy that steps up. Now, you know, my criticism has always been at that moment, I want him to still be more of a facilitator. You say, well, take what the defense gives you. Well, you're the point guard. Your job is is to decide what you're going to get. And so, you know, instead he takes his own shot a lot. Last night, you can't argue that wasn't the right decision. He made so many big plays down the stretch. And it, how many assists did we have for that game? It wasn't that many.
Last night? I think he had somewhere between 6 and 8. I can't remember.
He had 4, I think, right?
Kid? No, total? Yeah, at least 6.
He had 6? Oh, he had. I thought he was a team. Okay. Sorry.
But yeah, now I'm looking for
one turnover.
Yeah, only one turnover. He took care of the ball. And, I mean, that's the thing. He's got that ability to will his team to victory. In one way or another, it may not always be pretty, but as many of the moments as I've sat here and yelled at my TV, why are you taking that shot? Why? What are you doing? His record in those games is ridiculously good because of his play down the stretch, largely contributed to by his play down the stretch. So, yeah, I give him top marks there.
And if you consider, right, leadership, right, and you consider, you were just talking about Dougie, our record of losing 9 games in 3 years, and he's been on the team
right
in those since then. Well, he joined the team, what, 2018, 2019, right?
19.
All right, so he's been on the team over the last three years.
How many games year three.
Right? No. So, okay. T-Dubs, what are you giving him?
I give him 9. In the notch off is leadership is tricky, right? I mean, a measurement for leadership is tough. I would say he does it by leading by example, and I agree. Fresh, I don't see him being as vocal on the court, and maybe I'm not on the court, so maybe he is. But that'd be my only thing. He doesn't seem like the type that's gonna just on the court in front of everyone lead the way, you know, you typically see. But overall, he, like that Gonzaga game, he was the leader on that court. He was the only one that was like, give me the ball. I'm going to show you how to be aggressive. I'm going to show you how to be aggressive. He wasn't yelling and saying, hey, you go be more aggressive. He was just like, let me show you. This is how you do it. Which I love that. Which was great.
Let's assume, cause some people might not agree with this, that he is the point guard of the team. It's not Reese for me. Yeah. It's Kihei, right? And Reese comes in and maybe gets a spell here and plays the one. But for me, toughness, I'm giving him a 9.5, right?
Nope. That's high for you, Margie. That's a high mark.
That's very high.
What would you give your son? Toughness. Exactly. So you're outgrading your son for
No, I mean, I think Ty's like, fuck, is crazy mentally tough.
Yeah.
Really damn, Ty's a 10.
But he's just, like, he's not afraid of the moment, right? Ever.
I know.
Ever. So. But and tough and but leadership, I'm gonna give him an 8. And I think when you're talking about leader, you're talking about on the court and off the court. And what the point guard is an extension of the coach. And for this team to improve the way they've improved from the first game, which we all thought they would, right? That's on him. That is on the point guard. Dougie, you know this as well as anybody else, if not better than everybody else, right? It's your, it falls on you when the team isn't successful, and you get the credit when your team is, just like the coach. And so that's why leadership, I give him that. Off the court, I'm giving him, I'm deducting some points because he had that issue. He had that off-court issue with not being as responsible as he should have been, right, as a student.
Or I'll tell you something. At Virginia, that stuff matters, man. Like, let's say a guy like me, when me and Ted Jeffries were co-captains, and we took it very seriously. Junior Burroughs calls me all the time. He's like, Fresh, you know, you guys handle your business. You do your stuff. And so we respected it. And that meant
carries over
socially, academically, on the court, in practice, weight room. Like, it's the whole gamut, right? So maybe.
And when you talk about, yes, absolutely. And when you talk about this year, how difficult and challenging that probably is with the pandemic going on.
Sure.
That's a hard job.
Very hard.
These kids have no outlet. I mean,
just for a 21-year-old kid, there's got to be some freaking tough patches, right? Oh, yeah. For all of us, there have been. And when you're 21 in college, right? So, I mean, like, the whole thing, quickly mention the UNC kids.
Right.
They screwed up big time. Like, what are you guys doing? But again, they're 21 years old. They just won a huge game. I'm not saying it's okay.
I know.
Right. And, well, I didn't have a single tweet about it because it's like, man, the circumstances these kids are living in, and, you know, I'm sure they're trying to be responsible, and, you know, I feel bad for them. You know, they lost what was probably a easier win than some of the ones that are going to be on their calendar, maybe for this weekend. And so, you know, there's punishment there. I was definitely against the folks that are like, well, they should have to forfeit this game because of that, because I think that can have a really bad knock-on effect to reporting and to a lot of really important stuff.
And can you imagine if that's the game that keeps them out of the tournament?
Sure. Yeah, that would be.
That would be like the result, the ultimate horrible result of the pandemic for a college basketball player.
Right.
Not the ultimate, but that would be a really bad one.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So I'm giving him a 7.5 for leadership.
What was your score?
Eight. I'll give him an 8 for leadership.
Yeah, you talked yourself down a half a point.
I did. So I'm going to give him a combined 8.7 and a half. Right. All right. So if we go into the offensive categories, and we can go a little quicker if you guys want to take your time. I'm flexible. If we go into offense, if we break down offense, we say IQ, shooting, ball handling, and ball handling, I guess, the ability to turn the ball over and not turn the ball over, and read, and shooting, passing, right? IQ, we include assists. What are we saying for shooting? T-dubs? Hey,
for shooting or for everything?
Shooting.
For shooting.
Oh.
This is the tricky thing for shooting, right? Because it's like when the game's on the line and when he's shooting, how do you feel? How do you feel? And generally for me, very good. Like, he's hit some really big shots, and regardless of, you know, during the game, what his percentage is, the big shots, he's hit them. So I'd give him a 7 just because his percentage is better for big shots. But overall, as a shooter, he's not Kyle Guy. And he's, you know, if Kyle's a 10, then I put him at a 7.
He's shooting just under 32% from three. Right now.
So last year, 37.5.
Yep.
This year, down a little bit.
Yep. And he's shooting, and he's up on his two pointers, and he's shooting overall 44%.
44%
this year.
Phony, where are you at?
Coach.
I mean, offensively, what did you get? So what did you give him, T-Dub? You got to assign a number to that.
I gave him a 7.
A 7. Man, yeah, I'm looking at his numbers. I mean, he just got above 30% from three last night.
Yep.
And we're just talking about shooting, because his turnover rate is actually down this year.
Yeah.
It's the lowest in his career. That's funny. He was 19.5% in his first year. I guess I'll go with a 7. I mean, I'm teetering between a 6 and a 7. And really, he's a good shooter. Like when he takes those open threes, I have no problem with him putting that up. The problem is his shot selection isn't always the best, and you know, he still falls into that habit of driving against guys that are a foot, or when he played Florida State, a foot and a half taller than he is, and that's rarely going to end well for him. So, man, I know his ability, and we'll stick with a 7.
Dougie?
5.5. He's not a guy that if you swing the ball, hit him, it's like there's a very good chance it goes in. There's not a very good chance. And I don't care about percentage or whatever, but it comes up because of the big shots he's made, yes. Right?
But you have to factor in percentage when you're talking about a shooter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I he's 5.5 to 6. Because of the big shots, he's probably a 6 for me. You can't unfactor the big ones, right? Game winners last night. So he gets himself in a better upper echelon. But he's also afforded the fact that he can take 15 shots in a game and he's still going to play. There's not many guys in the country that can do that without being yanked out. So
especially under TV.
Yes. And yeah, I was going to say that too as well, right? Like they're on TV and the whole thing and everybody sees it. So microscope, you can't hide, right? I was thinking about this today, actually. I'll bet the most shots I took in a game in college, maybe 10, maybe.
And you were hitting a lot of those, right?
Of course. Thank you, Chris.
Well, I mean, in that particular game, if you
took 10. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if I shot 10, it means I made
6 or 10.
For sure. Yeah. Exactly. But so I think it's a 5.5, 6 because of the big shots he's made.
Is he an above average shooter?
No.
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 So where are you, Mark?
An above average shooter, you can give him a point maybe for clutch shots or a point and a half for clutch shots?
For sure.
Is he an average shooter?
Yeah. No. No.
I think from three he's an average shooter from three.
No.
Guys that would take threes, I mean, yeah, we're going to put them against, you know, I mean, for guys who that is normally part of their repertoire, because I mean, he's low this year and that kind of surprises me. You know, it doesn't surprise me that his overall percentage isn't that great because I think he takes a lot of twos that never have a chance from the time he's on the floor. But his 3-point shooting is decent. I mean, I think his form looks fine, and we've certainly seen games where he drops. I mean, we had 4 last night.
Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't shoot more threes this year, but I think he doesn't need to. So
he does not.
Where are you at with Mark? What's your score?
So you raised such a good point, right? When you talk about clutch shots, and that can never get too much credit, right? That's one of those variables. Yep. That's never seen. We talked remember the Sweet 16 game against Oregon?
Oregon.
That was such a huge three he hit.
And Gardner-Webb.
Gardner-Webb was massive.
Massive. Huge shot.
Going to halftime.
Yep.
Right. And I'll be completely honest, I wasn't a huge Kihei fan his first year.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily to do so much with Kihei. It had something to do with Kihei, but it had something to do with before the first game, something went down and I was like, you know, then that bothered me. That I had to take that into account, which isn't his fault. Anyway, I'm going to say average shooter, and he's playing on the highest level. Average shooter, but he gets a point for being clutch. So I'm giving him a 6.
Yep. We're saying
all right. Passing. Coach.
Defined passing.
Seeing the court, hitting the guy at the right time, hitting the right guy at the right time.
Passing and IQ. Doesn't IQ, can we wrap that one into the IQ?
No, because IQ is everything. IQ is not just passing, it's decision-making on when to take a shot, how to play defense.
Passing also is like assist to turnover as well, right?
When to pass. You can say that. You can say that. But not all turnovers happen because you make a bad pass.
That's probably true. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, let's include assist to turnovers and passing. Let's take that into account.
Yep.
All right, Coach, what do you got?
Wow. I'm actually consulting KenPom in this one. So here's the thing. So Kihei's turnover rate dropped by 8 points this year, 8%. That's great. His assist rate, though, dropped by 12 percentage points. He had a 37% assist rate last
year. Dougie, what the hell is he talking about?
37.
No clue. Give me the numbers. You have six assists versus four turnovers or 12.
Well, you know, last year his assist rate put him 13th in the nation. This year it's 188th in the nation. His turnover rate is a lot better than it was last year, though. You know, I'll give him an eight. He racks up a lot of assists, not as many as I would have thought from actually looking at the assist rate this year. But you know, he can be the best distributor of the ball on the court. He's got really good court vision. He's made some brilliant passes. You know, maybe it's not guys putting themselves in position this year or something, but hey, I would definitely like to see more of that. And I think there's room for improvement there, even as the season goes on.
Dougie, I'm going to TW first because I know you got some stuff to say about this.
Yeah, I do.
So TW.
I'm going to go once again. When the moment matters, he makes plays. So I'm gonna give him like a 7.5, but I don't think of him as like this elite passer. Like, he's not Jason Kidd, Magic John. He doesn't have eyes behind the back of his head. He's not doing that to get him a 9 or 10, right? So I'd put him in, you know, 7.5 range. But he's a great passer. The Momondi pass being the greatest of all time. So I got to get him up there. So like, he makes, once again, when it counts, and I want the ball in his hands at the end of the game, because I know he's going to make a play. So.
What'd you say? 7.5?
7.5.
Dougie.
Okay. And I hate doing this. I think he's a low key bad passer. Stemming from his chest pass, and we got to figure this out. The reason he doesn't snap it off, he just sends it with his left hand. And there's got to be a reason, and we got to figure it out. And maybe his dad can tell us why. There might be a reason. I think he's a low-key bad passer, and I'll tell you why. He gets out of position a lot of times. Like, he could make one more dribble. Instead, he stops. He sees the play. He knows where to go, like get to Jay or Sam or whatever. He doesn't make the next play, the next dribble to make the better angle. He's not a very good angle guy. But again, when it's a big time play at North Carolina, he made one of the greatest passes I've ever seen. Exactly. Forget Purdue.
Yep.
When he hit Tomas in the corner, that was his plan play. He was left foot. He jumped off his left foot. He was going out of bounds. It was over. And he made a right-handed pass in Tomas's thing. I think he's a great passer when things are scattered, right? When there's a problem. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a good set play passer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And I think you want to be a set play passer as a point guard 90% of the time, mm-hmm. 95%. So I'm going to give him – it's such a hard grade. He deserves so much credit for the big time passes he's made. 6.5? Is that terrible?
Yeah, that's low.
Terrible. He made the greatest assist in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but that's one assist. I'm talking about the body of your job, right?
I agree, Dougie, but I still think that's low.
None of us are going to be remembered by the body of our work. Fresh. All we get is a highlight reel.
I get it.
He has.
Oh, right.
That makes us all tens.
I never made a play like he's made.
The assist like he's made in college basketball.
But I guarantee you, my passes were sure. Other guys' passes were sure. He's not so sure. But does
6.5?
6 7/8.
I'm going to ask you to raise that, Dougie.
Huh?
I'm going to ask you to raise that to at least a 7.
All right, round up to 7. That's fine. But it's. I'm trying to explain. It's. I'm not.
No,
it's
no.
Not a hating thing.
It's so like, I get you, right?
I get it too.
Here's my thing with Kihei. I think he's a good passer, not a great passer. When you look at some of the plays he's made this year, the alley oops to Jay, passing from the high post against the zone.
Yeah.
He's been tremendous in the zone. Tremendous passer in the zone. The high lows from the high post, attacking like he torched Syracuse, right?
Yeah.
What I think that Kihei struggles with in passing is the timing. And when you're talking about set plays, this is what I think of. First of all, that left-hand pass that you pointed out in the beginning of the season.
It's amazing. It's
like, oh, snap.
It's amazing.
Right. Yeah, right? That, and when delivering the ball at the right time to the right guy, right? He's not, and I actually was having this conversation with Ty. We were talking about it. And I think that one of the reasons that keeps him from becoming a great passer and delivering the ball exactly at the right time, like Jay Willie on the Jay Willie show one night was talking about Reese. And he said, Reese's delivery of the pass is perfect all the time, right? And we've seen some of that this year and some not so much. But Kihei doesn't do that. Kihei's a little bit late sometimes with his passes.
Yes.
And one of the reasons why I think is because if he's being guarded by a longer defender and a bigger defender, he can't always make that pass at the right time. Right. And I think what I saw his first year, and he's gotten much better, and people get better, right? People evolve and they just improve and improve and improve. He delivered the ball late. He was locked in on one side on sides or blocker mover. He was locked in on one guy the whole time. And I was like, you know, he's got to develop the ability to see both sides. Right. And it's freaking hard. Right. As being a, being a point guard is the hardest possible job on the basketball court. One of the hardest jobs as an athlete, right, in any sport. You have to read five defensive players to be great.
Yeah.
Five. The guy guarding you and then the other four guys to make the right play, which is one of the reasons why that play to Tomas was great and why the play to Mamadi was incredible.
Yeah.
You had to read five guys, and you had to find Mamadi.
And quickly, on the fly like that.
So I'm gonna tell you something. I'm going to tell you something about –
What are you going to tell? So you're going to trade your grade?
Well, no. But I'm going to tell you something about college basketball. When you're a point guard and you're doing your thing, the elite guys, and I don't just say this because of you, Mark, but Ty Jerome, he sets it up before it happens. Corey Alexander, John Crotty, Chris Korchak, whatever. You know, Kihei is reacting, and I reacted. Like, I had an idea. I knew my safe pass. And I could do it, but then something happens and I jump, look that way, I see the guy, boom, you can do it. And I think for Kihei, he's not yet at that level where he can dictate what's going to happen. And who cares if he's 5'3"? Doesn't matter. He's just not at that basketball level where he knows what's going to happen before it happens. And some guys have it, man. I didn't have it.
That's so well said, Benny. Yeah. That really is.
That makes me feel good. I need love and understanding. Thank you, Marky.
Can you imagine if you had to read your Twitter mentions after a game? Fresh.
What's that?
If Twitter had been around when you were a player and you go out,
oh yeah,
struggle for a game and then log on to Twitter afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for Kihei. Like, I got so much love at Virginia, and you know, Mark talked about it before, but. And I had horrific games when I was young, and I didn't have to see it. I'd go to Slaughter and play basketball and, like, you know, beat up on guys like you, Chris.
Yeah.
Maybe. Probably not. But yeah, for sure. These kids, especially in the pandemic, the whole thing, they have no outlet. There's nowhere to go. And they're all on their phone. But I think Kihei embraces it.
I'm giving him a 7.5 passing. Now, you raised something. I'm going to give him an 8, actually. I'm giving him an 8.
Yeah? Because,
yeah, I'm giving him an 8. All right, when we talk about – so we talked about shooting. We talked about passing. Ball handling, really quickly. And turnovers, Phony?
I mean, his turnover rate isn't bad. You know, he's definitely – shown that he can help us break the press on when teams have pressed against us. There were a couple of possessions last night, or maybe just one, where they tried to. And I mean, he looked prepared for that. And, you know, that's always nice. It's one thing when you know, okay, this team is going to go full court after every bucket. But the first time a team does it when it's not expected, seeing how he responded, that was really promising. So, I mean, overall, just ball handling, you know, bringing it up. I wasn't really paying attention last night to who was bringing it up. Was he bringing it up mostly?
Reese didn't play a lot in the second half because he changed the lineup. So Kihei really ran the offense. He ran the team, especially for like the last 12, 13 minutes of the game.
And I think, I mean, I don't worry about, you know, when somebody's pressing him tight as he's bringing it up, I don't worry about him turning it over there. You know, it's more, you know, his turnovers more come in the half court set where he's maybe a little slow to make a pass and, you know, they know what's coming. But I mean, so for ball handling, I mean, he's not doing Globetrotter stuff, but I don't know, give him an 8.5.
I'm going to go back real quick. Sorry, guys. My, as a coach and as a player, one of the things I hated, especially as a coach, and this is something I told my kids growing up, don't throw soft passes. It drove me crazy. Nuts. One of the most frustrating pet peeves possibly have is someone throwing a soft pass. And every once in a while, Kihei will do it. And it will lead to a turnover that leads to a fast break for the other team. So that's why I'm only going with an 8 and also delivering the ball a little bit late.
Yeah.
So when you talked about ball handling and just control and won the ball in his hands, I love the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And I think that's such an advantage for Virginia when they have Kihei and Reese. And if Casey or somebody else is in there, to have two or three point guards or guards to handle the ball under pressure in the games that come down to the wire, huge advantage, huge.
Yeah, it does seem like about once a game, he'll throw what I would call a lazy pass where it just, you know, we all see that it's coming a half second before he throws it and there's not a lot of speed on it. And it, you know, and unfortunately those lead to very easy buckets and they tend to be very costly lazy passes.
I'm giving him an 8.5 for ball handling.
Wow.
And that might be low.
Wow.
T-Dubs?
I was going to say 9. I don't ever have an issue.
Yep.
9, I mean, just because I don't even know what 10 is, Harlem Globetrotter. I mean, I've never seen an issue where if they're going to press him, he gets around. He never has that where he picks up his dribble and doesn't know what to do. He's pretty darn good with that ball, and he doesn't turn it over in those instances. I would agree. Every once in a while is a boneheaded pass or a boneheaded thing where he gets in the lane and he jumps and he gets in trouble. That has nothing to do with the ball handling at that point. Right. So I'm going 9.
Right. And the places where he's going with the ball, right? And now he's gotten much better this year at probing and dribbling around and not picking his dribble, which causes some turnovers, right? Like he did last year in the beginning and midseason last year. Dougie, what do you got?
If we're talking about ball handling, so back in our day, Marky, you thought about Kenny Anderson, Bobby Hurley, guys that, you know, New York City for you, you got Pat, you can handle. Nick Van Exel, me in high school, my Pat was nuts. He doesn't have that, but nobody takes it from him.
Yeah.
End of the day, if you're not getting the ball picked away or stolen or whatever, your ball handling's solid. So he's a solid 8.75. But I include ball handling with passing too, but I understand what you're saying. Just straight ball handling, he's a 9. He's nobody's okay. Taking it.
So now let's go IQ and intangibles.
Yeah.
What do you got, T-Dubs?
Once again, big time. I had to give him a bump up. I would say IQ intangibles, I'm 9. That's the part of the game that I love the most about Kihei, I think. Because, like, he – like, that Purdue game, I know that, but that's the biggest play ever in my eyes. And he made it happen despite the odds. And he does it a lot. Oh, there's a lot of times in the game where I'm like, damn. Like, because he's quick, because he's small, he has to have an IQ to negate that. And I think that's the part that is a little – his strength. So I'm going 9.
We need a naysayer on here, but go ahead.
It's not me.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, intangibles? He's a 10.
Intangibles and 10. Other and IQ and other intangibles.
Well, IQ, it's so hard for me. I don't know. I would have to be on the team or be a coach to know. I can't see it on the court so much. So watching the games, he's a 7 IQ. But intangibles, he's a 10. So the intangibles are better than IQ at some point, right? So I go 9.
Yeah.
Combining it.
Coach?
Yeah, I'll go 9 there. I mean, he knows the game, and it would be interesting to see what he could do with more height. I think, you know, people might talk about him very differently, even if he's playing the exact same game that he is now. He's a heady player, and, you know, he certainly has those moments that frustrate us, but you know, he makes the right decisions, and especially at crunch time, it's this weird curve with him. The more important the shot gets, the better that shot selection is, and the better the shot itself or the pass, and it's very weird. You'd like to see that come down, and so that probably keeps him from a 10 for me, but I'll give him a 9.
I'm somewhere between 8.5 and 9 too. Right. So, do you guys have any more categories?
I know those are the big ones.
Hair.
I know people weren't in favor of last night.
Between a 4 and a 12 in hair.
He's all over the map with the hair.
But that's a great range because I'm a 0, so I'm just jealous about the fact that he can do whatever he wants with his hair.
I judge his hairstyle by how he plays that game. Right. And so consequently, I'm still undecided about last night.
For the record, that's my least favorite Kihei haircut. The samurai helmet looking thing. Don't love that one. The other one, I like the cornrows the most by far.
I do too. Did you text him? T-Dubs, and tell him? Come on, bro.
No, I haven't gone that far.
Kill that one. Kill that look last night.
That one, not it for me personally, but it's different. Right. I do appreciate doing things differently. Like, because, you know, that's why I like the Kyle guy and the man bun, because I'm you own that. And like, that's like a silhouette, just like the beard. I hate the beard on James Harden, but it's a great identifier of James Harden. He's got a big, nasty, gross beard. Like, I get it. I see who he is from a mile away.
Yeah, I still think I like the high ponytail for Kihei, but I'm open to suggestions. The cornrows are fierce, but that high ponytail, I thought he wore it
once. Last night, he looked like he had an inordinate amount of conditioner in his hair. It was very flowy.
It's very bouncy.
Very soft, very sheeny.
Yeah.
Would you say it looked like a little bit like a Jerry curl, T-Dubs? I mean, Dougie?
No. DeMarc, you don't get it twisted. Fayetteville, Tennessee, Jerry curls?
McDowell? He's not at McDowell's.
This is a fancy Jerry curl. Let's call it what's the word for that? Like, next level. Chanel Jerry curl.
All right, so T-Dubs, you have them like out of 0 to 10. You got them like a 9.
Yeah, probably 8.5, 9 overall as a player.
Overall,
yeah, 8.5.
Dougie,
8.5, 9. Yeah.
Well, look, he's a national champion. Who am I to talk
based
about?
On the formula? Based on the formula and the criteria that we just went over.
Yeah, no, he's a 7.25 for me.
I'm not sure. Okay.
I mean, let's be honest. These are very high grades, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's at the highest level.
Somebody's a 7.25 when I was a 3.5. Like,
this is at the highest level, right? This is the highest possible level. That's a big play in the ACC.
Yeah. He wouldn't have played on our team. I'm telling you that right now.
Coach?
Man, this is tough because I feel like my individual grades were probably higher than – you know, I want to live. I mean, probably like
curve.
Yeah. Like if I look at him as overall players and like as ACC players, probably an 8. I mean, I want to give higher because of those clutch moments, because of that pass against Purdue and that pass against UNC and what he does in so many games to help the team win. As an overall player, if we're looking at all 40 minutes or the 38 minutes per game that he plays, I'll probably put it at an 8.
By the way, I would bet you scouting assistant coaches, assistants, give him an 8.5, 9. I'll bet you.
Well, first of all,
except for San Fran.
Assistant coaches always bump it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And they always make the other team much better than they actually are. Right. They make them 10 pluses.
Right. But I guarantee assistants aren't saying, hey, he's 5'9", he's this, he's that. Like, we got him. No, they're like, yo, this dude is a killer. He can do this and that and the other. So
what's your overall grade, Mark?
You know, a 10 is like, is there a 10 in college basketball this year? I don't know. I mean, I think you got some 9s, 9.5s. Those are like incredible players.
Jalen Suggs, maybe.
I don't know. I wouldn't call Jalen Suggs a 10.
I just watched the Iowa game. So that Iowa game, he was a 10.
Yeah.
And he was only in our game. He was not good in our game. So
yeah. Right. He wasn't great in our game. He wasn't bad in our game.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so I've seen Jalen Suggs a few times. And like, if I give Jalen Suggs, oh man, it's hard to give somebody a 10. No. And so my grade to me with Kihei, going over this again, coach like you, if you rate every player, but who's busted his ass in the ACC? Jose Alvarado did when they Georgia Tech came
first
to
time, Charlottesville. Yeah.
Right? Anybody else? No. I mean, like six is Sam really Fran six did. Is high.
No, Sam Fran did.
Yeah.
Six is high, and then he gave Gonzaga the business, right?
No.
Six is good. Who? Kihei? You don't think he did?
Kihei was great against. Yeah,
he played really well against Gonzaga.
No,
I mean, nobody gets credit for Gonzaga losing by that, but
no.
But he showed up. He was tough and he played hard and he finished whatever.
He was not why we lost that game.
5.5 that game. I get it.
Was
it doesn't matter. Like that's not.
But we're talking about him as an individual player.
You get credit for Purdue. You can't get credit in a 20-point loss.
He still played well.
Yeah, the second half he went off. Like
I don't say he went off, and I'm not saying he played like a 10. But he played hard and he played well. So when I look back at it, even though I gave him high grades for everything, when you look at other players around the country and you say he's not an All-American, right? He's not in the top conversation for Player of the Year candidate. He's not in the conversation for Player of the Year in the ACC.
No.
So if you're talking about and I kind of raised it, I think it's probably. I'm going to go somewhere between 7.5 and 8, which is really high. And if he continues to get better, 8 is really, really high.
I mean, 8 is all conference. Maybe second team, the first team borderline.
Yeah, probably second borderline. Team. Yeah. There's a handful of players I'd probably give 9s to. I don't know. I mean, the last ACC player, Zion, that I'd give a 10 to. Yeah. You know, 10's got to – that bar has got to be set high. And I think there's probably been a lot of 9s over the years. There have been a lot of 9s on Tony Bennett squads over the years.
Who would you rate a 9? Give me 5.
5 Tony Bennett guys I'd rate a 9?
Well, that's easy.
Dre.
Malcolm Brogdon, Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome. You've heard of that guy. Joe Harris. Mike Scott.
Yeah.
So if you're rating those guys a 9, is Kihei just 1 point behind those guys?
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, because he makes winning plays. And it's those intangibles. It's that what I got as a 10 on that intangible, or I don't know what I gave him, review the tape. But I think that puts him just behind them. You know, but then you look at different things. Okay, contributions to the program, or you know, there's a lot of different ways you can kind of cut that and look at it. But if we're just going numerical rankings, that's where I'd put him.
So I'll say something about Kihei. I'm so glad he's on our team.
Yep.
And he's had the opportunity to be on the court when big things happen, and he's performed. So
I would say the negative stuff that I've seen, shooting, we all didn't have him high in shooting. But the other thing was like the advanced statistics, minutes per, all that stuff. You know, you hear it, you see it on the forum, people saying, you know, he's got the, when he's in, it's we're at our worst.
Right.
But he's always, when we are at our worst, you know who has to be on the court? Kihei, right? He has to be on the court when things are going bad. We put him back in, right? When things aren't going well, he plays the most, like he's the highest usage player. So like, you got to understand that's part of it, right? I mean,
I am all about advanced stats and tempo free stats and all that stuff. But plus minus, I think is the most worthless statistic out there.
Absolutely.
Just because you were in there when all the important stuff happened.
I'm going to disagree a little bit for a guy like me. Cause when I've told you guys this before, I was a backup, and my early years with Crotty, if I came in the game and we were up 3 or up 5 or down 2, if I came out of the game and we were a little bit better or even, I did my job. But
fair.
But to Chris's point, I wasn't playing 39 minutes a game. So
yeah. But we've talked about this. You come in, you know, the whistle blows, you come in, right. The other team hits two free throws, you're already down two. You haven't even made a play yet. And then right. The reverse happens at the end of it. You get subbed out after two made free throws again, right?
Yep.
You're down four. You had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, in my opinion, when I played, I was like, that's I'm down four.
Yeah.
So but Kia plays 35 minutes a game.
Right.
So.
I mean, it's unfair when you can sub a guy in and out. Sure. I just, yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't even look at that stuff, but people always text me about, oh, look at the BP, EBP. I'm like, that stuff in college basketball, just go away with that. It makes right. no so sense.
There are a lot of good advanced stats. I don't think that's one. If you look at his offensive efficiency, his O rating is 106 this year. It was 94 last year. So his offensive rating has gotten better, but compare that to other players' offensive ratings. So Sam Hauser is a 123, Jay Huff is a 128, Trey Murphy is a 131. You know, of our five starters, he's got the fourth best O rating. Reese Beekman is 103, so Reese's O rating isn't far behind. But you know, there are some useful things to look at. He's not bad. Anything over 100 in my book, you know, means you're doing something right. But
but also, I'm not sure what the formula is for offensive efficiency, right? But he's passing the ball to those guys, right? He's not taking as many shots as those guys,
yeah.
Unless they're sagging off. Right? But T-Dubs, what are the criticisms? I've seen turnovers, like people saying he turns the ball over too much. He should be subbed out. Yeah.
And on defense, people shoot over him. Everyone takes advantage of him, like he shouldn't. Right? That's the other thing, which happens sometimes, but not a lot. And the shooting thing, I think, is huge because they're like, oh, you just sag off of him. But he proved that wrong yesterday. But the fact that the scout was like, leave Kihei and Reese, go under the screen, let him beat you. Is, yeah. You know, that's a sign that. They don't respect the shot, like overall. So, I mean, he proved them wrong last night, but again, that's a sign of everyone else of a huge weakness that someone's going to do that. No one's doing that for Ty or Kyle. But you know, that's the bar that's set at UVA, I guess.
Yeah. But if I'm Georgia Tech, I would blame myself. Like they didn't make shots. I'm not so sure we beat them. Kia did.
Oh, I think we did in the second half. I think we beat their ass in the second half. I think we stepped up on defense.
Their fault, right?
But we stepped up on defense. They weren't getting the same open looks in the second half that they got in the first half.
Oh, they got it. Yeah,
and the refs, the Carolina refs came out.
What's that?
I said Carolina refs. I mean, Jay's from Carolina, so he didn't get in foul trouble. He got to actually protect the rim, which was a huge, huge factor that not many people are talking about, right? Usually when he makes those plays 50-50, he's getting a foul call, right? He's got four fouls quick. Yesterday he got three blocks, no fouls out of those. Normally that's three fouls, right?
Right. And any of those could have been called. Not saying they were fouls, but it's not unusual to see any kind of shot block called as a foul.
Which was big, right? If you have Jay down there disrupting like that, then it's really hard for Alvarado and these guys to get in the lane. Then they got to think twice, and then you're onto something, right? Because then Kihei can really step up and keep them on their toes. It's a great recipe for us when that happens.
Jay was attacked a few times, multiple times in the first half.
Yeah,
and great. And the other team and Georgia Tech was successful attacking him.
Yeah.
In the second half, he came out much more tough.
Yeah, the end of the half, he got that monster block.
That was huge. I mean, just it seemed like such a swing, and yeah. I mean, we didn't get any points after that. But just stopping what was going to be a sure two, just mentally, like as a fan, it felt good. And hopefully that translates.
I mean, that's for me. That's the thing that I hope we see more of. But I think UNC will be an interesting game. But like, if you're going to scout UVA, I would imagine. You want to pull Jay out and force him on a pick and roll and hedge and not have him down there as the help defender. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's going to be fun stretch.
TW, UNC doesn't scout.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. UNC is going to be fun, right? They're not going to do that.
For sure.
They're not going to, they don't care who we put on the court. They're running what they're running.
Exactly. They don't care.
Which is usually an advantage for us in the second half. We do well against them.
Dougie is not a UNC dude.
What do you mean?
Carolina.
No, I am.
You don't love UNC.
No, I love UNC. You know, I respect it. You know why? They do what they do very well. They don't give a shit what you do. They're like, we're going to beat your ass.
But you talked about, you often talk about UVA owning UNC and Roy Williams not being great.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now and Tony Bennett for sure. When I played? Not so much.
Oh, no. When you played, they were. Oh,
yeah. We beat them, by the way. People forget this stuff. We beat them.
I think the difference is back then, they got the cream of the crop in terms of athleticism.
Forget that. They still do. But the problem is now.
No, I don't think they do anymore. Duke does.
Tony Bennett. In the Tony Bennett era, the UNC does not want to play us.
Yeah.
It's not a fun game. They want to have fun.
They want to run up and down.
They want to have wine and cheese in the stands, whatever, and run and do what you do. They hate playing us. Feeding the floor, watching the game. And the Carolina guys are like, yo, get me out of here. Yeah. Get me home. Let's go back and do the TikTok video. Post game.
Are they still a blue blood?
Absolutely.
Yeah. As long as Roy's there, for sure. I mean, it would take a new coach a few years for me to take him out of that category. You know,
but you think about it. When's a one and done? They're not in that one and done game, right? They don't do that. They you know, get guys to stay three years for at least.
Well, they had two guys.
Roy's interesting, man. Because
last year their best player left. Two guys left last year, right? The year before, two or three guys left early. Kobe White and the big kid.
But those weren't coming in one and duns. You know what I mean? They didn't recruit them as one and duns.
Kobe White was. And
Kobe White? I don't know. Kobe White kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know.
Kobe White was one and done. Year, what's his name? Cole Anthony. Yeah, but it's not like, three guys.
Yeah, Cole Anthony, I guess. Yeah, you're right. They still get the big contract. But it's not three guys.
Did they have any one and duns on their the team that won the championship most recently?
What's it? Was Tony Bradley? What was he? Was he that year?
Nah, who was the big guy?
He wasn't.
I was thinking they only had one freshman. I'm not even sure that guy left.
Yeah, I don't think they had any one and duns on that squad.
That's the team that beat us in DC, right?
Yep.
In the championship.
Yeah, they had. It was Marcus Page was the point guard, right?
Yep.
He was
the big guy that not big, 6'7", great shooter that made the shot.
That was in between the Villanova championships, right?
Yep.
Right.
And they won it.
Right. Yep.
So that was 2018.
They lost and won.
That was 2017. Right? 2017.
The real question is, by the way,
the next year,
with all these coaches who are, you know, Kay, Roy, Larinaga, like, what in the world? Like, don't they want to just go fish and like hang out and play golf or whatever they do? Like, what happens? It's really at a turning point, right?
Yeah, it's going to look a lot different 5 years from now. I mean, these coaches seem to want to hold on longer than you think. I mean,
five? You think maybe three?
No, I think now because
I think you lose one of those three.
One a year coaches. For the next 5 years. You're probably going to lose one a year every year for the next 5 years.
I'd say we only lose one of them in the next 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just. Don't see these guys hanging it up. It's in their blood. I mean, Coach can't want to fish. He doesn't want to, you know, he wants to yell at teenagers who, you know, write for the school newspaper. Like, that's what gives him life.
Yeah, Boeheim, Kay, Roy, Leonard Hamilton, Larinaga.
A different thing. Not sure why.
What's that?
I think Coach Hamilton is a different – hemisphere. I'm not sure why.
He looks 50.
He doesn't age.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, he sings gospel and he's like, what?
He's amazing.
Larinaga and these guys, like, what's your point, bro?
Yeah, I think Larinaga will hang it up soon. You know, I don't necessarily see Roy or Kay or even Jim Bam. I mean,
yeah,
stubborn as hell. Like, you know, he's going to make him fire him.
And then, well, let's hope TB stays long enough for if he can retire here, that'd be amazing. I don't think that'll be the case, but
Dougie, if he retires or leaves,
who?
TB.
Yep.
If Jay Willie gets that job, or if he doesn't, you got to work on your pitch for that consulting position.
Man, my pitch is tight. I'm gonna tell you, it's wide open.
Jay Willie, head coach one day at UVA. You think that'll happen?
I'm gonna tell you something. I was kind of inside information, not really. Like, I'm talking out my ass. I thought TB would go to the NBA. I think with everything that's happened, there's no chance he doesn't know.
There's no chance he doesn't?
There's no chance he will now. I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
No.
I think that's an itch he'll want to scratch at some point.
If
the perfect opportunity comes up.
Ago, yes. Now, no chance.
If the perfect opportunity comes up, meaning he has control of the GM, he has rapport with the owner, I think he goes. I think he tries it.
He's not a GM guy. He's a basketball coach.
No, but he would not. Yeah, said, I don't know.
I'm not so sure he won't one day be like, yo, we got two championships. I'm good.
When Popovich retires and then they pitch him as taking over the Spurs, he has a chance. I don't know.
If the world moves forward, that up. COVID's gone, maybe, but in COVID, no chance. TB.
Yeah. I hope. It'd be incredible. I don't know. What do you think, Mark? What's your gut tell you?
My gut?
Yeah.
That was too much.
My gut tells me that he'd have to entertain offers. Right? If someone says, hey, if the Spurs come to him or a team that has the right fit, right? And he has some say over being able to select guys, right? Because one of the things
building that's important a program. To him is
having a healthy culture.
Yeah.
And Spurs, you don't always have that in the NBA.
Yeah.
You don't always have that in college. I've heard so many horror stories in college.
About what?
If what's that? With unhealthy cultures. With unhealthy cultures.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But in the NBA, you hear some stuff. So I think it'd have to be the right spot for TB. And how do you not entertain something when somebody comes to you and say, hey, here's $5 million. And I don't think it's really the amount of money for him.
Exactly. He didn't care about that.
But
that he's on record as saying that's his dream.
To what?
To coach in the NBA.
Yeah. And you'd have to consider it, right?
Yeah.
No way could blame him.
Right. I just hope he could get us one more chip before he does. Like two would, I mean, Dean Smith only ever got two. Like, for the way listen to a lot of fans whine about Roy Williams, you'd think he had like six or eight of them. He had two. Roy Williams has more, but to be considered one of the greats, I think you need two. One, no, you know, it's gotta be spaced out. Like, you know, Tony's been there a while. It's weird. Nobody talks about Billy Donovan as one of the greats. Didn't he win two at Florida?
Yep. Back to back.
Right, nobody really talks about him anymore because he was only there for 5 years or something. Like,
incredible team.
It was a stopover. You got to be there for a long time. You got to win a couple chips.
I think that for Tony Bennett to do it, like the way he's done it, above board, without paying anybody, without cheating, with being completely compliant, is incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
Come on, right? Mark, your wardrobe changed.
Basketball karma.
I met you at MSG with Ty, and your drip is real now. So
I got a raise, player. but it's so even
oh,
if,
for sure.
Let's say if TB leaves, it may or may not work out, or he may or may not enjoy it. Right? It could the same thing that happened to Pitino could happen to him.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him dip back in the league at BC or something like where
that's what I was going to say.
ACC again. Like, I don't, yeah, but whatever. He's brought us success. He's his own person. And if it happens, it happens. And I'll be appreciative for the journey so far. Yeah,
this has been seriously like pinch yourself type stuff. Like, unbelievable. So unbelievable.
But I told you guys, like, you know, a few years ago, me and him and Jay Willie had lunch. And I don't want to talk about it with him, but I'm like, you know, what about the NBA? And his eyes lit up a little bit. He's like, I don't need it. I played there. I get it. You know, I was there, but I'm like, all right. So
I've talked to him about the NBA and he follows the game. Like the X's and O's and
Yeah. He's a basketball guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there will be an issue with egos and some of the guy like managing that. I don't think he'll be a huge fan of that. But I don't know, the game part, I think he would love, especially in the playoffs at a 7-game series. Can you imagine?
I think he would love to coach like Jimmy Butler.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's what he said. He's like, if you're a competitor, you want to compete at the highest.
Yeah, at the very highest level.
And not only as a player, but as a coach. And
maybe he can do the Coach K route and take over USA Basketball, and that will itch that itch.
Right. I hope so.
Yeah.
Like nothing more. And then that'd get all those with recruits.
All right. Anything else, Mark?
Well, so much more, but we'll get to it next week or on the pregame show on Saturday.
Pregame.
Hopefully everybody will either do Valentine's after the game or Sunday.
Yeah, I'm trying to, we'll see, I'm trying to move some stuff around.
Chinese New Year tomorrow, by the way.
Like, you guys are like my girl.
New Year.
Yeah.
Lunar New Year, I should say.
Yep. You're the ox, right?
Something like that.
No, I know. I'm so much.
What the hell is something like that?
Anybody here?
Yeah,
you're the ox.
It is. Yeah.
Good day for hot pot noodles. Yeah. All right. Until next week. Saturday.
Saturday.
Can't wait, right, man.
Yep. Let's do it. Go Hoos.